that, of course, but it's just funny because now you go through an airport and people go, somebody will come up and say, usually every trip, Pastor Dan, I watch you. And I'm like, okay. And just a couple of weeks ago, I was getting something to eat and a lady tapped my shoulder. I turned around, she was trembling. I said, it's okay, honey. I'm a real guy. I'm just in love with Jesus. And, but she said something and walked away. And then I went to the next place because I didn't get her food there. It was funny. I went to the next place. I was looking for food and another person tapped my shoulder. It was a young lady and she was just overwhelmed by the gospel. And it was just humbling. It's just humbling because here's the deal. You don't have to try to build a big ministry. You don't have to go after big. Some people are called to that. I'm not saying it's wrong. But not many, really. You're called to be a light right where you live. You're called to be Christ in you. Right where you live. And guys, I could cry about this. It's so huge and important. You don't have to have a 501c3. You don't have to have a little card you hand people. That has nothing really hardly ever to do with ministry. In fact, that's a good way to lose the edge. When that's a need, you'll probably lose the edge of the sharpness of what God's created you for. And I didn't know I was going to say this. I just, stuff comes in my heart. I'm on the verge of tears. I'm trembling a little right now just saying this. Listen, just you being the best you, being real in Jesus, having a viable relationship, communing with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about this stuff. And just you walking in the light as He's in the light. You being Jesus in the flesh. When I was young, that statement would have been blasphemous. When the churches I went to, they would have said that was heresy. But I've learned it's not. He lives in me. Because He wants to. In fact, He paid an amazing price to move in. Like He really wants to live in me. So I'm just going to be okay with that now that He's here. And I'm not going to get weird about it. I was sitting on the plane with a lady and this wasn't today. It was just a different time. And she cried and she was shaking. We had a good time and I got a word of knowledge. I heard something about her. I got an impression and it was really on. And the only way I could have known was God. And she knew it. And she just shook and trembled and we talked. And I'm trying to love on her. And she was just overwhelmed. And I tried to get her to let me pray with her. And she said, I just said, it's okay. She said, I'm just so overwhelmed. And I said, it's okay. And she said, but I feel like I'm sitting here talking to Jesus. And I just smiled gently and said, you are. See, I didn't always understand that. I said, He's in me.
Come on.
And He's the one that gave me this understanding to speak these words. So really, isn't she talking to Him in me? Isn't the message Paul tirelessly preached and was full of grace to travel and preach was to get this mystery revealed? Christ in you? Like Christ in you. So I want to talk about some of this stuff this weekend because this is what's going to make a difference. It's not just a bigger ministry on the earth that's going to make a difference. It's God's people knowing who they are right within their sphere of influence, walking in love, filled with the Spirit of God and understanding their true reason for being. Where they're not just trying to live their life and add God to their life, but He becomes their life and they shine. They love, they forgive, they make peace, they live by the Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
It's the body of Christ.
Yes.
Think about it. The body of Christ. Yes. The embodiment of Christ is us. I'm looking at her. This is the roster of heaven.
Yes.
This is the best He's got.
Yes.
He paid for her.
Yes.
And I think He believes you're enough.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So, yeah, so Todd's called to what Todd's called to. I'm called to what I'm called to. You're called to what you're called to. And that might be something specific, but here's where we have the unity of faith. We're all called to wake up and be like Him. You might be called to the homeless. You might be called to missions. You might be called. You might really have a heart to multiply the heart of worship in people. But then that's a faucet of grace in your life. But I'm telling you, the unity of faith is you and me waking up for the same reason. To be like Him. So in our diversity of gifting and grace and calling and desire and appetite and hunger, we can all wake up and live for the same reason. That's the unity of faith. And in our great diversity, we actually find true unity because it all points to who He is through us. So we can all pursue His image. We can all begin to grow in love. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so this is the stuff that's kind of mandated on my heart lately to talk about. We'll pray for the sick tonight. It'll be fun. I'll get you guys to help me because you're Jesus people, right? Like Jesus is in you, right? And I honestly think God's really shifting just having people doing everything, like lining people up, praying, flowing in their giftings. There's a place for it. If you're sitting beside me on a plane, you'll probably get my gifting. In a service, you're to teach and train and equip and get people activated because I'm going to get on a plane on Sunday and leave. And it would be very important for us to just all get involved. And we'll just get involved and we'll just all see that we can, and it's not that complicated. So if I can teach you that it's not that complicated and that we can all do this because He's in us and there's a simple truth that motivates us, then we'd do good, wouldn't we? Because then you could continue to live that way. So then you can leave a service like this and be at work and hear somebody talk about a situation they're facing, and your heart might even pitter-patter and thump, and you might get a nervous feeling and you might get a little taken back, but yet that thing won't go away. You'll be like, man, I could talk to her. Man, I could talk to him. See, because then you're in a starting point that you weren't in before. You're at least thinking about it. I'm not even hung up on did you or didn't you. You're at least thinking about it. See, I'm excited about that. We had a lady leave a service years ago. I did, and she called me. She's a good friend to this day. She called me crying on the phone hard. She had invited me into the area. I poured out my heart and I left. And probably 3 days later, she called me and she's crying really hard. And I said, what's going on? Are you okay? She said, I'm just overwhelmed. I said, why? She said, there's sick people everywhere. I said, honey, they were there before 3 days ago. You just didn't see them. You see them now.
Yeah, that's true.
She said, but I'm just overwhelmed. I said, don't be overwhelmed. You're not the answer for all those people, but there's an answer in you for some. And you stop for those you can. And we just talked and kept it simple because she was like, all of a sudden her awareness was touched. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you can just live life and get in a certain way where you grow not cold or callous even, just familiar with your surroundings. And you're just used to seeing things. But now a message touches your heart and now you see it. Isn't that what the gospel is all about? Doesn't it bring light?
Yes.
Yeah? So it's just good. So tonight that'll happen. But let me lay a foundation. Let's talk about just how valuable all of our lives are. How's that?
Amen. Come on.
Rather than how messed up you all are. Because some of us might need some change. But talking about how messed up you are won't bring change.
Listen.
If I can tell you how valuable you are and talk to you about the answer.
Amen.
I just know I read this book a lot, and it's the goodness of God that leads men to change.
Yeah.
Yes. You can't talk me out of it. You're too late to talk me out of it. It's not the reprimand of God that leads me to change.
Amen.
It's not the judgment of God that leads me to change. It's the goodness of God.
Yeah.
I'm changed because I see who He is towards me, and that no matter what I understood or didn't understand, He never once changed His mind about me. He made me for a destiny. He made me for a purpose. And He made me for a reason. And love never changed its mind.
Amen.
And there was blood speaking better things than the blood of Abel over my life. Whether I knew it or not, it was there. It was speaking. And God never changed.
Amen.
On my darkest day, He didn't lose sight of what He created me to be. On my most willful adventure and most rebellious act, He didn't cut me off and change His mind.
Right.
He knew who I was from the beginning. And love set out to change my mind.
Wow.
And He did. So it worked. The goodness of God.
Amen.
Come on, whoever came and told you to just straighten up, so then you automatically straightened up. Whoever told you to get it right and you just got it right. Most cycles, this is proven just in a psychological, most cycles and most addictive behaviors are connected directly to low esteem and a lack of value in the individual. And if all you do is point out what's wrong with people, then people have something wrong and they live up to the low level in which they see themselves. And until the something wrong changes, they don't have the value to live towards anything because they're this instead of this. So you have to understand what the cross does. The cross frees me. It doesn't let me off the hook. It doesn't tell me to live flippant. It doesn't give me permission to sin and get away with it. The cross says you're more than what you've ever known. You're more than what you've produced. You're more than what you understand. Here's what the cross says. You just put Jesus right here. He's beat beyond description, blood poured out. They mocked him, slapped him, beat him. It was way worse than 40 stripes minus one. And he's hanging there. He doesn't deserve to die. He's the one on the earth that deserves to die less than any man ever. But there he is. Why? Because he knows who we are from the beginning. He knows your purpose, your potential. He knows destiny. He knows what your life will look like when he lives in you and you understand. And he believes his bloodshed is worth redeeming you and getting back inside of you. You know? And you want to get till you believe this gospel and you start wearing this gospel to where other things don't matter more. And all of a sudden life doesn't speak louder than truth. Because truth made you free. And all of a sudden it ain't about who said what and who didn't what. Well, they made me feel, well, I don't know why. All of a sudden none of that stuff matters more. Because you see what matters most. Listen, you can treat me wrong, you can do me wrong. I'm not inviting you to, asking you to, but you could if you choose. And it doesn't change truth. Amen. It doesn't change who I'm called to be and created to be. Amen. Why would I let what you don't see determine what I do see? Amen. And who he is in this truth. Yes. Yes. You know how folks will say they get trapped in this? Well, I'd be doing better if it wasn't for...
Oh, come on.
And all of a sudden you got three justified in your mind analytical reasons why you're not where you should be, which is already a low level of condemnation because you've judged your location.
Wow. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
Well, I don't, you know, I'd be here if it wasn't for... Well, the things that you're listing aren't the Lord.
Amen.
So why are they governing your life? Why are they deciding who you are and how you are in that moment? Because it's just natural wisdom. We've been trained that way. We've been taught by the way that seems right. And that's a problem because it seems right. But when you look at what it produces, you can tell it's not God. If it gives you a reason to stay the same, if it gives you a reason to be bummed out, if it gives you a reason to be discouraged and depressed, just ho-hum. Then it can't be the Lord. Because
right.
He's come to give you life. And life much more.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah? This stuff is important. It's really important. Especially, I believe in a country like America, we got to be very careful, guys, living here. It's a blessing. It's a good thing, right? But growing up, all the gospel messages that I remember hearing, and I never understood, we were talking about in the back, they were always self-beneficiary, self-serving, and what God could do for me instead of how He could make me more like Him. We got to be very careful in this country. We don't succumb to a message that takes care of us instead of transforms us. Because I don't even want taken care of until I'm transformed. When I'm transformed, I'll be taken care of. It's called seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm not against blessing, but you don't have to chase after it. Sometimes the greatest blessing is just seeing clear in the moment. Just seeing clear. If I seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that's the way He's judged me through Christ, right in His sight. So I seek ye first His kingdom and how He operates and how He sees me through the blood. All these things needed to fulfill His will be added unto me. He's not talking about full vats and full barns. He's talking about everything necessary to be like Him to fulfill why I'm here and He's in me. You follow me? Now you be real with me. Tons and tons of messages out there cater to us. And they promise us things and want to do that. It's beneficiary. I'm not against God giving you a better job. I'm not against you praying for a promotion. But man, if the promotion didn't come and you thought it would and your countenance drops, that's what I'm concerned about. This gospel has never been intended to serve us. It's here to transform us. It's here to change me, to make me more like Him. I don't know the circles you grew up with. I grew up in one where it was always about my sin. It was always about making sure I prayed a prayer, and the goal was always getting me to heaven. That's what I grew up with. I'm a sinner. He died. I ought to be thankful. Because of him, now I can go to heaven. That was the only thing I knew my whole childhood growing up till I was age 20. That was, and make sure you stay in church, because if he comes and you ain't in church, you could be in trouble. I'm just telling you, did anybody grow up with that gospel? He died on the cross because you're a sinner. He died to forgive you so you can go to heaven, and you better make sure you're in church when he comes. So I ain't the only one that grew up with that gospel. Here's what that book taught me. He didn't die because I was a sinner. He had to die because I sinned. He died to redeem me, to get truth back in me. He died because something was lost. He came to save that, which was not who, that. Matthew 18. He's not talking about an individual. He came to save that which was lost. What was lost? My created value, my destiny, my purpose in him. Everything through sin was lost. He came to become what I was so I could become what he is in me. You get it? Nobody ever told me Jesus died on the cross to redeem my value. Every preacher told me he died on the cross because I was a sinful mess. No, he died because the truth was lost. He died to get something back. He died to get something back inside of me. I was doing this a while ago and I didn't finish. But now I'm here so I can finish. Here's what the cross says to me. I know who you are, Dan. I knew you from the beginning. There's a time to be born and here you stand. You're the will of my Father. And I'm giving my life and shed my blood to put my life inside of you. I've loved you from the beginning. I have a destiny, a purpose for you. I'm not judging you for sin. I'm judging you for purpose and calling and potential. So yield to me and come to me, because if I be lifted up, I'm here to draw you unto me. I love you, Dan, and I know who you are. I'm not mad at you. I am dying for you that you might have life. That's what the cross says to me, personally. That's so intimate and so powerful. It's not about my sin. It's about my calling and destiny. So guess what that does to the sin? I don't want it anymore. I'm so much more than that. I'm so much more than living for me. That, what an empty shell. Unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. What a lonely place making it all about you.
Right.
Come on. You can be a Christian and hear the wrong messages and make it all about you. You can make your Christianity all about you. We can just stand in church and sing. It's all about him and prove it's all about us. By our disposition, our levels of encouragement, our attitude, our view of others. You know what I'm looking at? A whole room of people Jesus shed his blood for because he knows the truth about your lives. Once I get that, I have a better view of you than I've ever had before. All of a sudden, I don't find myself thin-skinned and, you know what I mean? And you get on my nerves and, well, you rubbed me wrong and... No, because even if you don't see the value of who you're created to be, I do. I've read this book. I understand now. You're worth more than maybe you realize, but I can know it.
Thank you.
You follow me?
Yes.
All of a sudden, you can't say, well, they get on my nerves. You've got new nerves. You can't just get caught saying they bother me anymore. You know, we're good at that stuff. It's all psychological. It's human stuff. It's not spirit stuff. Well, I just don't get along with their personality type. Well, God doesn't have that conversation. So maybe your reasoning and your wisdom's coming from somewhere else. Maybe it's actually self-righteous and proud and judgmental. Maybe you don't realize every mountain's been brought down and every valley's lifted up. Maybe there isn't no hot shot in low life. Maybe they're all one plane in need of him.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
So they might not like it the way you like it. But they have the same value. They're all worth the blood. You follow what I'm saying? This is the stuff the gospel's been teaching me to keep me thinking clear and going strong. So life doesn't interrupt and speak louder than truth. If truth is where I find freedom. And all of a sudden, I'm not a hurting minister with a bunch of years of resume of untrustable people. And well, I'm just being real. You know, and now I got all my stories of what people put me through and how I trust. Listen, on the night Jesus was betrayed, read your Bible. 1 Corinthians 11, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He didn't say, I can't believe you're all going to run. I can't believe I poured out my life for you and spoke to you in secret and you all say you're going to die for me and now this is what you're going to do. On the night he was betrayed, the Bible says it specifically, I believe, to teach us. So we have to make sure on the night we're betrayed, we're not betrayed. That we don't have people owing us so much that we actually have the right to be betrayed. Because love owes no man anything but to love. It doesn't seek its own. Come on. You know how we have all these hidden expectations, unspoken things on each other, and we don't even realize it until they're crossed? Well, I thought you were going to... How come you haven't talked to me for a while? Well, no. Are we okay? Yeah, we're fine. Doesn't seem fine. Well, and all of a sudden, 3 weeks ago, a thing happened and you processed it a certain way. I haven't communicated and for 3 weeks. It's been muddy.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Holy. We know how to do that.
Right.
We know how to get it right. It's all about love.
Yeah.
I just thrown some stuff out at
you.
If you wake up every day and keep these things in your heart and understand why you're alive, I'm alive for His image. I'm alive for His love. I'm alive to live by the Spirit. My reason for being is to be seen like Him and as He is and who He is in me. That's my priority. I seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Bible says, unless you love less, these are some important folks on this list. Unless you love less your mother, your father, your spouse, your children, your houses, your land, and yes, even your own life. Unless you love that list less, you'll by no means be my disciple. That means a wholehearted follower that's been disciplinedly learned, that's fulfilling His will. Why? Because one of those things on the list will get in the way and keep you from becoming and manifesting everything you're called to be. Now, how many of us become Christians to keep that list preserved? How many of us become Christians to keep that list protected? And because that's our motive, something gets struck and we shipwreck. Get hard-hearted, backslide, get mad at God, get confused, get in a quandary, don't pray anymore because so-and-so. And all of a sudden God becomes the bad guy because He didn't protect what I received Him into my life to protect. And I don't want those things to happen. I wish they'd never happen, but we're in a war. Honestly, that's a form of idolatry. You're making something matter more that doesn't matter most. So when you're defending that thing through fear, through covetousness, through idolatry, then He can't defend it. You're already wrapped around it defending it. When you let it go and love it less than Him and make Him matter the most, then He's got things. It's really healthy. Are you following me?
Yes.
I guess what I'm saying is you're not a Christian for well-being. You're a Christian for His image and you love not your own life unto death. That'll take you a long way. If you're a Christian for well-being, you're probably in trouble. Let me just say it. You will be in trouble. Because you'll get questioning. And you're like, why is He letting this happen to me? Why this? Well, how come? Well, I prayed. Well, how? And all of a sudden you have quandary and you have fear and you have frustration instead of relationship, love, and expression. And it's all through a circumstance. Which means you don't understand relationship and why He moved inside of you. No matter how a person treats you, you can shine. No matter what adversity surrounds you, you can be like Him. You can love not your own life unto death. You really can. So that His life can shine through yours. Or you can let something matter more. That's your privilege. That's the paradox. You say, well, yeah, but you don't know how I feel. No, I probably do relate to how you feel because I remember living that way. And but be real. Is that worth subverting everything that He's in you for?
Oh, come on.
Guys, wouldn't you agree that if my feelings are unproductive, they need changed by the truth? Let me throw this out at you here while we're on this roll. Do you believe for a second the way you grew up is the way God created you, or do you believe it's all part of a lie? Do you believe it had to be perverted? Come on, it was our feelings and emotions are some scary things when they're not redeemed. Fears and anxieties and frustration and snapping off the anger and touchy. And when I talk about living a certain way, I've had people say in the past to me, Dan, I'm not a robot. I have feelings. You can't expect me to just turn off and be a robot. And God gave me emotions. And I'm like, no, 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 no. God didn't give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave you those. You were born into Adam. It's time to get born. That's called new life. Where old things pass away. And behold, how many? All. So even my emotional makeup needs challenged. Why? Because nothing about me when I was born through mother, formed in my mother's womb in iniquity, the Bible says. Nothing about my life was what He created in the beginning. It was completely perverted, 180 degree perverted. I was born into Adam, Romans 5. Every man since the day of the fall was born into whatever Adam became through separation from God. So I was born into separation from God, even though my life is the will of God. Isn't that amazing? Why are my emotions when I'm born perverted? Because every man born is thinking for himself, not the kingdom. In Genesis, every man should have been, if it would have stayed in that line, was made in His image for His glory following Him. Was Adam made in His image? Was Adam made in His own likeness? So in the image of God, did He make man and woman? It's Genesis 1, 26 and 7. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. What died when He ate the tree? The image.
Wow. Come on, that's good. Wow.
The image of God. Adam didn't fall over dead.
Right. Listen, right. That's good.
Wow. The day you eat the tree, Adam, is the day you surely die. Who died? He died. Everything he was created to be was lost through separation from God. Here's what happened. God is love. God made man to love. Man got cut off from the source of love and became in need of love, and we were all born into that lie. Every one of us in the room. You know what I mean. From the time you were remembering and can remember back and aware and alert from little up, whatever age it is. Self-conscious, insecure, needing valued, needing loved, needing protection, needing safety. And psychologically, we try to accommodate all those things even as we're grown now instead of just let the truth come in and change it all. So some of us still live insecure and codependent and needy.
Yes.
Even though we sincerely see our need for a Savior, but we don't get that change. We don't realize, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not alive today for you to love me.
Right.
I'm alive to love you. Why? Because I'm transformed back to the beginning. I'm restored back to the beginning. I'm one in Him and He's in me. And yay, God is love.
Amen. Yeah. Come on.
So what's the whole point of Christianity? Restoring you back to that truth. I'm just going to make a bold statement. Anything less isn't Christianity. It's a form of something. It's a form. It doesn't mean you're insincere. It doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. It doesn't mean your sins are forgiven. But you'll never walk out the grace and the purpose of the finished work if you don't understand this. Like the whole goal, 1 Timothy 1:5 of the commandment, the whole purpose of the commandment, the whole goal of our instruction, it depends what translation you read, is love. So if we miss love, we've done a lot of church and missed the whole point. Well, guess what love is? Doesn't take any account of the wrong done to it. How's that possible? Because it doesn't seek its own. We prove by our life we don't understand this revelation. We don't understand this thing because we're ticked off at each other sometimes. People leave churches because of discrepancies on the night we're betrayed. We live betrayed instead of break bread and pass the cup and continue to give our life.
Yes. Wow.
And all of a sudden we become a product of men and things and happenings instead of Him. And all of a sudden we let the word of a person rise above the word of God, and we don't even realize it's happening because we're not evil, we're not hypocrites, we're not intending it. Just the way that seems right. But if it doesn't produce life, it can't be God. We should be so encouraged, guys. Thanks, my friend. I appreciate you. You guys okay? Come on, man. If I really believe what I'm preaching to you, do you think today's the day to be like he said, she said it, and well, I don't feel because they didn't? Come on, those days are destroyed for years now. Like years. A lot of years. I tell people I'm the most deceived man you ever met, or I'm free. We'll find out someday. We will find out someday, but in the meantime, I got all my chips on the free space. I got to push them over. Because, see, I live with me, and I know where I'm talking from. It's something I see. If you see it, you can become it.
Right. That's good. That's good.
Come on. If you have a right to be hurt and let down, and you don't allow a truth to come in and take away that right, you'll always be hurt and let down. But if the truth comes and takes away the right, even though you have the groundwork for being let down in your former way of thinking, even though then things still unfold, the opportunity to be offended is always there. Yep. Yes. But where does it say you have to be? Right. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but where does it say you have to ever let your hope get deferred?
Listen.
So people just get bummed out and let down. They quote Proverbs. Well, hope deferred makes a heart sick. That's why I'm like this, brother. Whoa, wait a minute. Where does it say you had to let go of hope? Where don't you have a higher view than...
Right.
Yeah.
Please do yourself a favor. If you get anything out of the things I'm saying tonight, to start this thing off, and especially if you can't come back. If you're a Christian, for you, you're not going to run well. I'm just here to talk plain. If you're a Christian for His great name and for others, this thing is on. But if you're a Christian for your sake, it's going to be very challenging and up and down, and you're probably not going to run well. You can't be a Christian for you. You're a Christian for His great name. And there's an honor to that. There's integrity behind what I'm saying. And it just crushes self-centered, fleshy thinking that has considered ourselves way too much. Yeah. Yeah. You got to think of the cross. You got to think of what He did. 100% right treated 100% wrong. Not one speck of evil, and treated like He was a heretic or a son of the devil. Everything He did, totally pure, and treated like He was something far from God. And He didn't let what they didn't see change what He was. He never let sin against Him give the right to produce sin in Him. Just kept overcoming evil with good. Oh, what a hero. You're going to follow somebody, it probably ought to be Jesus. Yay. Probably ought to be Jesus. See, that doesn't make Him weak. That makes Him amazing. Because He has every right to have a right, but He doesn't assume His right. He just keeps on loving. How do you deny yourself and have so many rights? Come on, the Christian isn't supposed to pray a prayer to go to heaven. The Christian's supposed to deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow Jesus. Paul takes it a step further so we can actually think it out. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But it ain't I living, it's the Christ living in me. Amen. And the life that I now live, I live by faith. Yes. It's by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. So what's he saying? The guy you're looking at, it's not me, I'm not living, it's not my own will, my own pursuit, my own agenda. Man, I got reason for being, I got purpose, I'm inspired. Yes. It's the Christ living in me.
Yes.
Now we got all these scriptures. They're awesome and intense. Loving not your own life unto death. If any man come after me, let him first deny what?
Deny.
Why is that first? We just looked. Man was never made for himself. He was made for God's image.
Wow.
Let us make man for himself, and each his own, and each an individual mystery. He didn't say something like that.
Right.
He said, let us make man in our image.
Yeah.
The cross is a restoration back to his image. The cross is back to Christ in us. It's back to the beginning. It's the word redemption, look it up. It means brought back, bought back to original value.
Yeah.
That's why it says old things pass away, all things become. How can you become a Christian and maintain the same mentalities?
Right.
The same old expectations on others. The same old trust issues. You don't owe me anything. I don't have trouble trusting you. I don't put my trust in flesh. I put my trust in him. He's where my expectation and hope comes from. My joy is loving you. Not you owing me. See, before I was saved, I used to think, God, why don't you just tweak people a little? Life would be better. Like, people are weird. Like, just zap them. Whatever. Just bzz, bzz, bzz. People are strange. And I used to think if God would tweak people, life would be better. I never considered he wanted to make me more like him, and I might have been part of the problem. I'm just saying, did anybody else get trapped thinking that way? Thinking you're right and everybody else is wrong? Trying to make them like you? You see how twisted that is? Trying to make, how about marriages? You know, just getting people to do for you what you need them to make you happy. All of a sudden, you think somebody's on the earth with the job description to please you and meet your need and scratch your itch? That's pretty self-righteous and twisted. A marriage is covenant. All that is mine is yours, and all that is yours is mine. So that one plus one is a stronger one.
Woo.
Marriage is holy and amazing. It has nothing to do with you're hot and you're cool too and whatever. I don't even know how to go there anymore. I'm changed. I don't even know how to act it out. It would feel weird. Come on, think about all the reasons people get together.
Yeah.
Loneliness, not getting any younger.
Right.
Just broke up, so now they're hooked back up. This ain't working, so their hearts gets divided because they get drawn over here because this ain't working. It's always needs driven.
Right.
And they call it love.
Yeah.
It's a starry-eyed Hollywood movie that ends in tragedy and pain, and after a bunch of years of that, you're hurt and hard and have a resume. I'm just telling you. And you got to wake up at some point and say, wait a minute. The motivation behind this isn't good because it doesn't produce anything good. This is all about me trying to meet something in me at the cost of others. Using people to meet my need can never be the kingdom. He meets all of my needs. I found it in the Bible. There's a scripture for it. It's in Ephesians 3. It says to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge is to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I looked that up, and you know what it means? It means a house with no empty rooms. He's talking about apart from you. He's talking about just me, my life, apart from you. A house with no empty rooms.
Hallelujah.
A town with no empty houses. It's called the body of Christ, the church. Not a bunch of needy people finding our identity through one another and what we're a part of. We found our identity in him and we lock arms and that's what makes us strong.
Amen.
We're not here needing one another in the weak way. Oh, we need one another to cover the earth with his glory. I get that. But we don't need each other the way we've needed each other. Make me feel good. Make me feel wanted. Make me feel special. The gospel's supposed to do that. Because if you don't change that, somebody's going to let you down and you're going to have a reason for being less than him and it won't be truth. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
I know it. I've been a pastor long enough to know what happened. People serve in a ministry sometimes just to get accolade and feel like they fit and belong. And if you don't discern that and talk about it and pull them and get that thing healthy, it's set up for disaster. Because now they're laying down their life double and triple time, getting more accolade. And now people are saying, they're the best servant ever. This church wouldn't even function without them. And the whole time you don't even realize the damage that's taking place. And they're drawing all their identity out of the accolade and their service instead of their identity through Christ and the finished work. And then if somebody doesn't give them what they feel, they're unappreciated. People are insensitive. And I lay down my life double time and people don't notice. You think this stuff ain't real? You pastor for a couple years.
Yes.
You'll find out it's real.
Right.
So we ought to talk about it from the pulpit.
Amen.
We ought to talk about real things and have family meetings. And get everybody in the room and just talk about stuff like this.
Yes.
Instead of just Bible topics.
Real topics.
I mean, really talk about it.
Because
I'm telling you, every one of us could come through the door for the right reason every time. And have nobody owe him nothing. And owe no man anything but to love. Every one of us can come to where we go, wherever we go, can wake up for the right reason. Every one of us can be the steward of our own heart and decide where we live from and where we're heading in that thing. And you can determine in your faith. That's why it's called faith. Because it rises above feelings and emotions. And it rises above the way that seems right to a man. Faith, you keep your eyes on a perspective, on a goal. And you wake up and you're the steward of your own heart. And you keep your own conscience clear. You're your best accountability partner. Serious. And you wake up because you got to live with you. You got to look in the mirror and see you. You ought to like what you're looking at by doing justice to your own heart. Don't live in secret. Don't think it's common to live in the dark. Don't think, well, nobody knows. You know. And that's causing a lot of problems. Because it veils your face, you don't feel good about yourself, and you really deep down can't imagine how he loves you, even though the preacher says he does. You guys all right? Come on, this stuff is so important. It's so important. I promise you, we can be so healthy. I'm telling you, you have this great gift called life through Jesus Christ. And it is not a confession of faith, and you're not serving a doctrine. You're becoming something. You live from a place. Yeah? It's what faith's all about. Yeah. So we were made for God's image. Man became a God unto himself. He got cut off from love, and the source of love became in need of love. Every one of us was born into that lie. Everyone in this room can relate to needing love, can relate to needing valued. Be real with me. Can relate to being young and someone make fun of you and it just wreck you inside. Tear up your esteem, make you feel insecure. Just think of the pressure people live under to this day, young and old alike, to measure up, to be accepted. We live in a social media world right now. It is eating some people up. They just post one thing and direct it towards an individual and they believe the whole world saw it and thinks it and they're crushed. Just social media could just crush somebody. Somebody just posts something negative on Facebook. And because you're not before his face, that'll eat you up. I'm telling you, relationship with Jesus, just getting everybody to say the right thing about you is not your answer.
Amen.
Believing he's done the right thing.
Yeah.
And that it's made you something.
Yeah.
You can't take my eyes off of it. You can post anything you want about me anytime you want. You can't keep me from his presence. You can't keep his peace from the center of my heart. Ain't nobody going to keep me from hearing his voice. And I'm not being arrogant. I'm being real. Because I've gotten to know him a little bit. And it's a little more than an out there comment. Knowing him is a little more rewarding than people saying the right thing all the time. You want that kind of security in your life. Doesn't make you arrogant. Just makes you secure. There's a difference. So let me just rewind this and hash this so we got this all down. So Jesus, nothing was made that wasn't made through him. So he was there from the beginning, right? Let us make man in our image. Is that why God's making man? For his image. So it's not happenstance. Man's not here by accident. He's intentional and on purpose and designed by God. Man's on the earth for God's image to be found in him and God's image to shine through him. That's why man's on the earth if you read your Bible. God wasn't just fiddling with some clay and just walked up a mountain and was breathing hard and some breath got on it and a man jumped up into his hands. I'm just saying. Whatever. I know that was silly, but what I'm saying is man's not an accident. He's intentional. Light, firmament, everything's made, right? But then he gets down and he forms man out of the dust with his hands and he breathes into it. And man becomes a living being. Let us make man in our... what was lost through sin, the image. Why did Jesus come and become sin? So we could be free from sin and get the image back.
Amen. It's
just so simple. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, behold. That means I become totally different than I was a minute ago. So through teaching, my perspective and my reason for being changes. All of a sudden, my motive in life changes. My view towards you changes. If I let ministry identify me, if I let my calling identify me, if I just let my friendships identify me, then I'll only be doing as good as those things are panning out. But if I let this truth define me, then I found freedom. You know how many people were riding their gift? You know how many people were finding their identity in their ministry? That's why in the beginning when I started and I was shaking and I felt like I wanted to cry and I was like, God, what are we doing right out of the gate? This feels uncomfortable. It's because people are finding their identity through what they do for him and in his name instead of what they become in him.
Yeah.
And then you need people to acknowledge you, to recognize you, to esteem you, to reward you, and that gets weird.
Come on.
We haven't understood this thing, becoming love. It's why man's on the planet. The faces I'm looking at, you're people. You have heartbeats. You're human beings. The only reason you're here is because God saw your day before it was seen. There's a time to be born. It's in your Bible. And here you sit. This is your day. They're not fancy words. They're Bible words. That means your life, your existence is the will of God. He's the author and giver of life. And there's a time to be born and here you sit. You're not here because a man went into a woman called mom and dad. You're here because God saw your day way before that.
Yes. Come on.
Yeah, you're not happenstance. It's impossible. And the reason you're here is so he can live in you and shine through you till the earth is filled with his glory. And if we're not careful, we think we're here to survive. I'm being real. We reduce the gospel to a survival kit instead of the truth about us. And all of a sudden we're clinging to the gospel to catch a break and find protection and get our way to go for us. And we're striving and thinking we're using faith just to survive. You guys all right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
We're all right. No, because we have an answer. Listen, if any of these things have been you, just go, duh, yeah, what was I thinking? It's that simple. Watch this. If it's not this way, then I'm only as strong as the weakness around me, and then how you do me determines who I am instead of what he did for me. If what I'm saying is not true, then I'm decided by folks, and then we're only as good as you're seeing me, praising me, appreciating me. If I was your pastor and you were the flock of this house and I was your pastor and I lived outside of the way I'm preaching, then I'm only as good as you see me as a pastor. Then I minister from insecurity, uncertainty, and I'm always trying to get a higher praise from you so I can feel better about what I'm doing. And we'll never have a solid church. See, here's the truth about what I'm saying. And some of us get uncertain with it because we have this codependent thing. We feel like we need to be needed. And we need, it's just a twist behind it. Like Please don't hear me proud and don't judge what I'm saying too quickly. Hear it through. No matter what your assessment of me is today, I'm so okay in who he is in me without being arrogant. I'm not here to get you to like me. I want you to. That would be awesome. That's not my goal. My goal is to cry out a truth that empowers you to live more free than you've lived before, to not let things that don't matter most matter more. My goal is to empower you in your destiny to not let the little foxes keep stealing the fruit of the vine. But to actually run this race worthy of a prize. To keep the faith, to fight the good fight. To run the race. Yeah? Yeah. So if I come to a church, if I come to a meeting like this, and I'm not settled in this thing, then there's a whole lot of other factors taking place. It's like people go to church to be loved. And then they get disappointed in the church. Well, God's people ain't loving. I've been there. I've been to church. I ain't never going back to church. I sit on airplanes with them every week. And they tell me their horror stories of church. And then I encourage them to change their perspective. And instead of going to be loved, why don't they go to love? Because there's no problem there. People say, well, I ain't going back to that church. That ain't a loving church. It should be. You were there. See, we're always waiting to get something instead of become something. And the always waiting to get something is weakness. Because it's not love. It's weakness. You say, how's it weakness? Because if you don't get it, you're not okay. If you don't get it, you're not fulfilled. If you don't get it, you're not productive. If you don't get it, you're not all the way in. But if nobody owes you a thing, it's so powerful. Because nobody can let you down. You didn't wake up for them to do anything. You woke up to love them. That's what makes Jesus so awesome. And that's why he can hang here on this cross when nobody did nothing right.
Wow.
Why? Because he already knows who he is in the Father. And if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men to him. Not a prayer of salvation, not a confession of faith, and not serving a doctrine. He'll draw all men to him. He's the way. He's the truth and he's the life. It doesn't say no one comes to heaven except through him. It says no one comes to the Father. He's bringing us back to the Father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah? So I did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. Heaven came back into me.
Yeah.
And now this thing is right.
Woo.
You get it?
Yeah.
I'm not serving a doctrine. Life came inside of me. And I have a relationship. Yeah? So, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. That's first. It's obvious. I already talked about it. I'll just reiterate it a little and nail it down strong. The reason that's first on the list, the Bible teaches no man was ever made for himself. Every man was made for his image. The biggest lie on the planet is men living for themselves. A bigger lie is man being a Christian for himself. Bad enough we're living for ourselves. Now we're going to bring that lie into Christianity? And now we're a Christian for our sake? You're supposed to count the cost. You're not trying to keep anything alive that was there. That's all supposed to die. So something new can live. Like, this is so simple, the gospel. Like, why is it so hard to give everything up that you were before him? Because none of those things were who he created you to be. They're what you became through the lie. So the only thing Jesus is asking you to give is what you never were anyway. I mean, honestly, do you really want the emotional makeup and the mindset and the train of thought you grew up with as a kid? Really, honestly, do you want to preserve that? Do you want to hold on to that? Do you really think that was fruitful? Come on, just let the proof be in the pudding. There, that thing wasn't, it just self-justified you. It made others your problem. There was a way that was so self-preserving in that. Adam, did you eat the tree? Fresh after separation with God. Fresh in sin. The first expression of sin in your Bible. Adam, how'd you know you were naked? Did you eat the tree I forbid you? It was the woman you gave me, for she gave me to eat. He couldn't say yes. Why? Because he became a God unto himself, and now he's self-defending, self-protecting, self-justified. First effect of sin in your Bible, Genesis 3, fresh after the tree. Separation from God. All he could do is think for himself. You see, what's wrong with his answer? He's saying, if you wouldn't have gave me the woman, I probably wouldn't have ate the tree. You guys hash it out, but it ain't on me. Is that a mindset anyone's familiar with in this room?
Yes.
Does anybody relate to that mindset? Well, I wouldn't have did it if they wouldn't have. Well, if they wouldn't have. Well, they're the one that started. Well, they shouldn't have. Well, they're the one that pushed me to it. And all of a sudden, we're declaring we're a product of men instead of a product of the Spirit of God.
Oh,
and all of a sudden, we're saying we're only doing as good as they're doing me. And I am because I am what I am because of them and what they did to me. It's their fault. That is a lie. A higher way has come, and it's called the way.
Yes.
Yeah. So don't sell cheap if you're not for sale. Because you've been bought with a price and you're not your... See? That's all Bible, isn't it? That's Scripture. I read that somewhere. You've been bought with a price.
That's right.
You're not your own. If any man come after me, you know what we've turned it into? Blessings, benefits, survival.
Yeah.
I was talking to a young man back here. He's a missionary. He was connected with a fellow that I'm familiar with, and there's times where people shoot at people in those situations, and martyrdom and stuff, and nobody will get hit. Boom, 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 and everybody's standing and nobody got touched. 10 feet away. But then there's times 8 of them will fall over and be dead. You can't get heady about that. You're all surrendered. Your life's not your own. You got a legacy before the King, and you're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and you're never going to die.
Amen.
Like you already won.
Yes.
Like when you're in Christ, you won.
Yes.
As soon as you get born again.
Yes.
Winner. Yeah?
Yes.
Like you won.
Yes.
Like forever.
Yes.
And we've been deceived into making the gospel just about how we're doing now.
Yes.
Come on. Yes. So, can you explain, and I heard him say, and I've heard others say on the mission fields where it's extreme persecution, they say, you know, it sounds so great when you tell the stories where all the bullets missed, or they didn't penetrate, or the smoke cleared and nobody was dead. But then the reality is there's a time where 6 people are laying there and they're dead. But they're not. And they didn't compromise. And they believe what they believe. And there's something about that that's powerful, that heaps coals upon the head of the enemy. There's just a working of God's Spirit that's no less powerful to me.
Amen.
Amen.
But we better be careful. We're not just stuck in a mentality and preaching a gospel that serves this country's... where it's just about benefit and blessing. Because all of a sudden your rent got paid supernaturally and you're just in church freaking out. They can't even calm you down. But 4 months later, that money didn't show up and now you're standing there.
Come on.
That's a problem. Because
yes.
It gives you away.
Yes.
You're in Him for you. And how things unfold. That's a problem. That gives you away. You don't understand relationship. This isn't... And then he call you master. Give your 3 wishes, master. His name isn't synonymous to abracadabra. He's the Lord. And the word Lord literally means to govern, to rule, the supreme ruling, governing factor. Yeah? He's Lord. So then we probably ought to let Him be Lord of our lives. The supreme ruling, governing factor of who we are and why. So I know I keep going over this over and over, but it's probably on purpose. Without intentionally thinking about it. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow Him. So Jesus in Matthew 16 is showing us how to come to Him. And in coming to Him, He's getting rid of the problem. It's man living for himself. So let's make sure we don't preach a gospel that just serves us, but a gospel that changes us. I'm not against the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord is evident in my own life. I've never really asked for it. I've never sought and prayed for it. Psalm 67 says, our God, our own God, He shall bless us. The blessing of the Lord is just the Lord. He's just the way He is. You don't use your faith for blessing. You use your faith to stay in a right perspective in the face of trial. You don't use your faith for blessing. Blessing is just who God is. God will bless us, our own God. He'll bless us. He'll provide. He'll give you everything necessary. Paul said, there's times I don't have enough. There's times I have plenty. Was he not blessed? No, he was blessed. He learned that in either situation, he's content and he stays the same because truth hasn't changed. It would behoove us to live that way. Or we're going to be only as good as circumstances are going. And you ask the average Christian mindset that was not in hypocrisy, he's not in evil, he's just not understanding. The average Christian mindset, how you doing, brother? They'll share the two biggest trials in the life and say, keep me in prayer. Meaning they're only doing as good as things are going. Come on. And then you internalize the problem, you become a product of it, and then you pray from that place. Happens all the time. And rarely do we see ourselves in the promise of life, sonship, covenant, answer conscious, answer driven. It's usually, I can't take anymore. Somebody pray for me. Please, I need a breakthrough. And then all of a sudden you give yourself away and you realize you're internalizing trouble instead of covenant relationship. And all of a sudden you're only as good as things are unfolding. Get what I'm saying? I mean, it just fascinates me. I've watched it as a pastor, a minister, a leader for years. I use the simple thing of getting laid off. We get so caught off guard by getting laid off. We have bills. We have a budget. I understand the logic behind it. But when you look at your response and how it's what it's producing, you can tell if it's truth or not. So you go to work and you can't afford to lose this job, but you did. You just got laid off. Most people in the church that are God-fearing, that understand their need for a Savior, react to that and become a laid off person in their prayers, in their family, in their disposition, and in their productivity. They get identified by the circumstance instead of already sealed and settled in Him. So instead of being covenant conscious, they do things like this. Oh my gosh, I didn't see this coming. I can't believe I got laid off. How am I going to tell my wife? We got so many bills. And now you got yourself in trouble because now you're looking at your bills. You're thinking a month from now. You're thinking how much unemployment and what's going to cover. And oh my gosh, I'm going to be in the hole. Instead of just simply going, wow, I sure didn't see this coming. But man, you know all things. And as much as I feel tempted to be moved and react to this, man, that would be silly because you've loved me from the beginning. When I was yet a sinner, you sent your Son. God, we're covenant people. As quick as the door closed, one will open. I can't sweat this thing. And it would feel weird to lose a bit of sleep. And you go home and you share with your wife from that perspective. And now you're praying from faith instead of fear and consternation and dread. And come on, it's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of faith that saves the sick. It's not the prayer of despair. Most of the time we pray in a very sentimental, emotionally driven way because we're afraid people are going to die. We're emotionally given. We're very rarely do we pray because of the promise of life and from the answer. That's why prayer lists and prayer chains are so big in the country, because we're thinking the more that can pray, the better. And yet one with faith can move any mountain. It's just a giveaway. And then you say, but 1,000 people prayed for them, man. It's all over the internet. We got it all over the world. There were so many people praying. But it's amazing. It's mustard seed of faith. It's not get everybody to pray. Wonder if a church of 1,000 is praying for Nancy because Billy just died of cancer and we can't stand to lose another and we're just all praying because we're afraid she's going to die. Now we're fasting. It sounds right. It seems spiritual. We're quoting with emotion and passion scripture. But wonder if what's driving us is the fear of death and I can't believe we're losing another. I've just seen it happen. And then analytical minds kick in and say, well, you can't tell me one of those people didn't have a mustard seed of faith. It can't be the will of God to heal. I'm not praying for anybody anymore. I'm not getting involved with it. And then you just set yourself up for defeat and destruction. Because now you're saying, I don't know what I believe and I choose not to believe anything or whatever. Loving not our own lives would be good. Amen. I don't know how else to explain this other than when my wife was laying in a coma on life support. With brain damage. My motive for praying for her isn't the fear of losing her. She's going to live forever. The most I could lose is personal time. But I gave my life anyway. You say, Dan, aren't you for real? Don't you have sentiment? Don't you? I have a little bit of that stuff. It's real, but I don't let it rule my life. I understand in a spiritual war, I don't go there. I'm not praying for her to wake up so she enjoys the life of her grandchildren. I've heard that prayed thousands of times and watched almost all those people pass. That's not why they get up. They get up because He loves them and He paid a price to redeem them because they have destiny to fulfill. They have purpose and God's mercy and love and compassion is enough. You don't pray for her because you're afraid she's going to die. You pray for her because she's called to life. Because she has destiny. Because her days are too short right now. There's a long life waiting for you. You don't pray for sentimental, emotional reasons. I don't know how else to explain it. I'm not compromised. I'm not plan B in it. I know deep in my heart that even if she passes, nothing changes this way. It's our privilege to win.
Amen.
I'm not afraid to believe. I'm not afraid of failing.
Wow. That's good.
We already won. Faith says we won.
Yes.
Yeah. Is this a little battle outside of the major war? Yeah, whatever you want to call it, and it involves a personal spouse, wife. Yeah. But I'm not going in there because I'm afraid she's going to die. I'm going in there because she's promised to life. Because she has destiny to fulfill and her life is more than this right here. I don't believe this is God. Bam. You see? That's different than what we... The doctor said to me on the phone, he said, your wife is this and this and we're afraid she could die. We need to this and this and this. And I said, listen, man. I love you and respect you. I honor you, doc. I said, that's why you went to school and spent a lot of money and got an education. Now ain't the time for me to get one. I just was telling him, I don't understand his terms. I don't need a medical seminar right now. I just respect you, doctor. Do what you've been trained for. And I'll just trust that you'll do your best. I'm not watching over you to see if you slip. You do what you think is best as her doctor. And I support that. I'm giving you a big yes across the board. And I said, but doctor, I'm coming in a minute and I'm going to do what I've been equipped for.
Wow.
Now watch what he said. He said, well, what is that, sir? And I said, I'm going to pray and the kingdom of God is going to come upon her.
Yes.
And he said, well, I appreciate that, but I have to face the reality of this situation. And your wife is in real grave trouble right now. And I said, no, doctor, I appreciate what you said. I said, you couldn't hear what I said. And I said, it's not your fault. Because you've watched countless people come in and quote every verse in that Bible. And you've watched their spouses die. That's what I said to him. See, you think, that, you're arrogant. No, I was making a point. He's heard countless people go in and quote and reduce this to a book of principles. They're crying out, hoping to get an answer. Coming in fear and despair and wailing and crying and praying and blowing shofars and waving flags and quoting every promise in the book. And then the doctor just watches him pass. So when I tell him, I said, sir, you couldn't hear what I said, but I understand why. It's not your fault. You've watched countless people come in and quote countless scriptures only to see things not change. I said, but many times, sir, it's fear and despair, devastation, and storm, unexpected. Boom, now you're trying to build a house in a storm. You haven't read your Bible for 4 months. Now your spouse is dying, and now you're quoting all the scriptures you haven't read for 4 months, wondering where the power is. Come on, this thing is not abracadabra. It's a life we live. You live in that place as if the war is. You don't. If you waited to prepare as a country for battle when battle was coming across the ocean, and radar said, wow, they're sending fleets of ships and there's planes coming, we better start training. Would we lose?
Yes.
You trained for battle.
Yeah. Come on.
And when battle comes, the gospel will defend you, I promise. But you trained for battle. You live as if every war button's flashing red. In the most peaceful times, you show yourself approved. You keep your conscience clear. You keep your emotions in a holy, sanctified place. You be the steward of your heart and your life. This isn't works. This is something that keeps you right here in the game. Because if something clicks and skips and all of a sudden violates your conscience and you're praying a prayer and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, well, when's the last time you read your Bible? I don't need that. When my wife's laying there in a coma.
Right.
I need to know I've been with him.
Yes.
And he's about to come.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Come on. I've talked to countless people that find their identity through preaching. So when they preach, they get because their life's not lived in a certain conduct. Their conscience is violated. And then all those things are trying to bite them the whole time they're ministering. I have friends I've talked to like that, and I say, so why don't you cut all those things out and shut up those voices? This is stuff people are uncomfortable with. But it's just real stuff. You can be the steward of your own life because you are. And you can be the steward of your heart because you are. People are quick to say, don't judge me. I'd rather be quick to say, why don't you hold yourself accountable? Rather than protecting yourself from me judging you, why don't you be your best accountability partner?
Amen.
I've seen countless people hide behind, don't judge me. I'm just a forthright guy. So I'm a pastor guy. I love people. So I'll be in an office, door closed, young people, they're in love. They want to. And I'll say, be honest, I need to know where you guys are at in your relationship. I mean, you want to do a spiritual wedding? Oh, yeah, we want Jesus to come and fill the room. Well, I need to ask you guys, I mean, you crossing lines? You guys doing it? Just, are you doing it? She'll start bawling and he'll look to the floor and I'm like, oh, that's my yes. And then I'll start talking to him about doing it. And why it's not a works or a legalistic thing, but why it's a holy thing and a covenant thing. And I'll bring it into creative value and stuff. And when I start talking to them, one of them tends to say, not always, but usually one of them will say, well, listen, man, we don't need you judging us right now. We're working on it. You don't need to judge us. And I'm like, I'm not judging you. You already told me you are. But we hide behind the don't judge me. What we're saying is I'm not ready to change.
Oh, wow.
When you say don't judge me, you're saying I'm not ready to change. Because
wow.
I'm not judging. Judge, the word judge means to presume upon. You see what I'm saying? It's the word presume upon. So it's like, you know, you meet two young people. Yeah, I bet they're doing it. And then I think about that and I treat them as such or whatever. Or when I look at them, I say, yeah, look at him. He's got his arm a little close, man. Yeah, they're doing it. That's called judging them. Because I don't know it to be true.
Right.
It's called presumption. But if they're going to sit in a room and weep and tell me, yeah, we've been crossing some lines, I'm not judging them when I talk about it.
That's right.
It's already out there.
That's right.
Do you ever have people as a pastor say, don't judge me?
Yeah.
That's a big cop-out line, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what you're saying is, I don't want to hear about it because I don't plan to change.
Right.
And that's a problem for you because you'll never manifest the kingdom.
Come on.
Because you're busy protecting yourself. Come on, this is just straight up living room family stuff. Are you guys okay with this? Or are you? Because it's calling you to something. It's calling you to something. Serious. That's the thing you didn't realize when you came in here and said you might not know what I was going to say, but see, now this thing will come back and it'll get you and get you and get you. It's called Holy Ghost. Like you'll be out a week from now thinking some other way, and Holy Ghost, psst, and it'll, you might even see my face in your mind. No, you don't have to see my face, but you'll hear those words. And you might actually think, wow, this attitude is really detrimental to me. Wow, I don't have any need to be feeling this way. Wow, you know, right now I see that's insecurity. Wow. And God can use these things because the word's alive. It's active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. And it goes in and splits asunder the soul, the spirit. Goes deep into the joints, the marrow, the bone. Yeah, the word's good. You know why I come across confident and talk so bold like I do? Because I live this way. So my conscience is squeaky clean and clear. So I'm just preaching out of my life. It's simple. I'm not preaching anything I haven't lived. Isn't that cool? So I'm not coming here hiding offense and bitterness, and I got issues with some used-to-be friends. And now I'm telling you the gospel. I'm not drawing my identity out of preaching. I get asked to come, and I come. I'm here to empower you, I promise. I'm not here because I need to be. I don't need to be here.
Right.
I don't need to be here.
Good.
Like I wanted to be here. I came with you guys. I wanted to go be with you guys. That's pretty much the Houston area, I guess you'd say, right?
Yep.
Man. God's just sending me there. Yeah?
Amen.
It's good seeing you guys, by the way. Just think if we'd take into our hearts account for what we're saying tonight and each of us personally pursue, not in perfection, in sincerity, pursue to live this life by faith that we're talking about. Just think of the difference it would make in our personal lives and the lives of the people around us.
Yes. Yeah.
Nobody'd be on eggshells. Nobody could fail you again. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes.
Yeah. Whoa! Because if it was really like that, God is so failed by you and me. Like, has anybody ever said to each other, like, well, yeah, but you just hurt me so much. And then, why didn't he, well, yeah, but you did. Come on, we got to throw that out. What would it be like if you were sincere and broken and repentant and you come to God and he's sitting there having a fit? And he'd be like pouting. You know why he won't? Because he's love. That doesn't mean he enables your sin. He washes it away. He wipes it away. He wants to change you through the power and strength of who he is. The love component is the most amazing, powerful thing about God. Yeah. So if you can't find, like Jesus. Okay, Jesus is carrying the cross to Golgotha. They got him beat beyond description. It's so unfair. It's so unjust. They just released Barabbas instead of him. That's pretty insulting. Come on, it makes an amazing talk show. The audience would be ticked at the people and feeling sorry for Jesus if they were really seeing the whole story, right? This guy's good. He didn't do nothing wrong. Well, what did he do wrong? Said he was God. Well, yeah, but he multiplied food. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. A lot of people are blessed because of this man. What did he really do wrong? Well, he just made himself out to be God. Oh, he's kind of like functioning like God, isn't he? I mean, born blind from birth and nobody ever saw him. Remember how the Pharisees gave that guy a hard time?
Yeah.
And the guy said, nobody has ever heard anything like, what do you, I don't know if he's a sinner. You know, I just know I was blind and now I see. He's like, look guys, nobody has ever heard of anybody open the eyes of a man born blind. He's like, what is up with you guys trying to find what's wrong with this man? I mean, this guy, and they got mad at him and kicked him out. He said, you sinner, you're trying to teach us. You were brought up and born in sin, and you're trying to teach us. Do you guys remember that story?
Yeah.
He causes a man to see, and they're trying to figure out what devil did it.
Yeah.
If Jesus was an analytical man.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm not against intellect, human intellect, 180,
woo,
intellect, use it for the glory of God. Analytical, I don't believe is from the Lord.
Amen.
Why? Because God never gave you the ability to talk yourself out of Him.
Listen, that's good.
Never. That happened when Eve listened to another voice and Adam followed.
Wow.
And that same voice has been doing that same thing from way back then. And all of a sudden it would be like you get tricked into staying the same with a somewhat clear conscience because you were justified. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
We got to get the kids here soon and we'll pray for the sick. Am I being too redundant or are you just getting this? I just feel like I'm going over the same thing over and over and over and over.
Come on.
Listen, do you put metal in a microwave?
No.
Why? The scientific thing you can't really explain, can you? I can't. Maybe somebody can. There's probably somebody in here that can. But I know this, it wasn't made for metal. That's all I need to know. I'm a simple guy. If you read the manufacturer's handbook on a microwave, it was not made for metal. So if you put metal in, what would happen? It'd get you to hit the off button quick, won't it? Did you ever do it by mistake?
Yeah.
Woo! It just, whoa! And then some of your kids probably... Don't do that. Because if you do that, what are you going to do sooner or later to that microwave?
Destroy it.
It's just a simple analogy, guys. So here's the manufacturer's handbook to life.
Come on, man.
Was man made for himself?
No.
So what's going to happen if you continue to live your life for yourself? You're going to destroy the product.
Yeah.
And never fulfill the purpose in which you're here.
Oh, man.
That's true.
If any man come after me, let him first deny. It's the whole purpose of the cross is to get you free from you. Because if he can get you free from you, you'll see everybody different than you've ever seen him before.
Right.
See, I used to think you were my problem. Now I realized living for me was my problem. That's what gave me my view of you. But if he can get me to deny myself, then I'll finally be able to and empowered to what? Pick up my cross. What's pick up your cross? Taxi through every situation, every motive, everything, and not let that thing change you because you're already changed.
Yeah.
Don't ever let sin against you give the right to produce sin in you. Don't repay evil for evil. You overcome evil with...
Good.
That awesome?
Yeah.
So I'm going to carry my cross, and if I deny myself, pick up my cross, guess what I'm doing? Following Him. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Now it's a place of freedom.
Yeah.
I promise you this, learning what it means to not love your own life unto death is the greatest place of freedom you'll ever experience. It swallows up anxiety, fears, depressions. It just swallows up everything that would try to obstruct your emotions and your flesh from moving forward. When you learn and wake up and teach yourself in relationship and communion with God, wow, Father, what another day of just honor, of just living in you. What a gift today. Not, God, you got to get me through this day. God, if you don't do something with my boss, I don't know how I'm supposed to keep working there. You need to change him. Come on, if you pray like that, life is hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're still praying for everything to go the way you prefer, you got somewhere to grow. But I promise you, if you'll wake up every day and begin to commune with God and thank God for the gift called today and realize life's a gift, you got this little window called time to leave a legacy and mark eternity. Or you can expend it on your fears, your desires, your lusts, or your uncertainties. That's your choice. But I know that the just shall live by faith.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yes.
What a sad day to stand before Him and realize all that potential then. I'm not saying that in a weird, scary way and having an altar call. It's stuff that sobers me. I've said this for 20 years of my life. If you squeeze an orange, what do you get? Be weird if you got apple. Why isn't it weird if you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Man, it ought to be weird. It ought to be so weird to squeeze a Christian and get anything but Christ. So I'm not being arrogant. I'm not picking a fight. I'm just not afraid of one. You squeeze me, you ought to get Christ. You treat me unjust, you ought to get mercy. You ought to get me weeping for you in a bedroom praying, not because I'm mad, but because I realize you don't know who you are. You wouldn't live the way you're living. That ought to matter more than what you said or did. Your well-being, your eternal status, what you see and understand should matter more than what you did to me personally if I loved not my own life unto death and denied myself. If this thing isn't really about me, then it should be about you where my eyes are concerned. And if you're conducting yourself out of conduct, I should be concerned for you about that, because if you really knew who you were and who He was in you, you wouldn't be living that way. That should matter. And instead of me crying because of you, I probably ought to cry for you. And it ought to trigger mercy in my heart. That's how God lives. Because He's love. And it's not a weak, mushy, cushy thing. It brings out the best in everyone. It tells you you're more than what you've ever produced or lived or earned. Love brings you to that highest place, to your potential. And love never fails. So if He made me in His image, then my love ought to never fail, huh? So I probably shouldn't be in a room crying for me, feeling sorry for myself, praying for God to knock you off your really high horse. I should probably be weeping, saying, God, if they really had a clue, they wouldn't conduct themselves if they really knew you intimately. God, would you begin to move and open? And all of a sudden, I care about people. Don't you think that was Jesus' heart? When Jesus was weeping and praying, do you think He was like, I can't believe they said that about me? Come on, cut me a break. So the whole reason we're Christians is what? To become love. Narrow statement. If we miss that, we've missed the whole point of the cross. And love's not a mushy, cushy thing. Love is powerful and amazing and strong. And it'll bring men to repentance. It's the goodness of God that leads men to change. Don't ever forget that. It's not the reprimand of God. There's some zealous people who say, yeah, it's not all about love. It's all I can see in my Bible. It's not a love that gives me permission to stay the same. It's a love that compels me to change. It invokes a discipline and a diligence back inside of me. Because I see His love clear, I'm motivated. Back when I was a kid, remember I said that gospel I grew up with, and a lot of people were laughing uncomfortably because they grew up with the same gospel? Here was the paradox about that gospel, Trey. It's not that we love Him first, but if we have all this mystery and question on why would He love me, and I can't believe God loves me, and I can't imagine why He loves me, but I hope He does. If you don't see His first love, how's your heart ever going to be compelled to respond in that same love? If you don't see His first love, you'll just feel compelled to serve Him, and you'll feel indebted to Him, and that's where a lot of people are camping. They feel like they owe the Lord something because He did so much for them. So my whole childhood, young life, up until I was about 20, and then I quit going to church until I was 33, and God saved me at work. No human being around me. God just came and saved me. Now I had enough seeds sown in me, and I could quote certain scriptures at that point in time, and I've strangely enough, would have told you I was a Christian because I grew up in church and was an American. And at that time, I thought if you were in America, you were probably Christian. I just thought that. Things have changed, but that's how I thought when I was a kid. But I used to say in my mind, well, I don't know why He would love me. I can't imagine He loves me. And when I saw His first love when I was 33, man, it was life-changing. Because I realized He never changed His mind about me over all those years. He saw something I never saw. So I gave Him everything that I was so that everything He is, He could become in me. And it's not that it seems fair or unfair. It just seemed right. It's like what He wanted from the beginning. So I was like, yeah. I wasn't like, no, you shouldn't have. I was like, yes, you should have. Because this is what it was from the beginning. That was 21 years ago. June will be 22 years. And it seems like a flash. And I'm as excited now as I was then. I probably express myself a little clearer and hold it back just a little to communicate. But I'm very excited about this gospel. Why? Because I didn't just find Him through it. I found me in Him through it. Nothing's yours. Nothing ever was. It was always made for life in Him. I've been saying this for the last 2-3 months in every church I go to. Just throw it out there for what it's worth. I talk about suicide for about a minute and I say it's the biggest lie on the planet in my opinion. It's people getting deceived by the devil to take something that's not even theirs. It was never their life. It's always His life in them. Not taking their life. They say, well, it's my life. It never was. It's His life in you. What you're being tricked into taking is His life in you. Therefore quenching and canceling purpose and destiny and legacy. And you took into your own hands something that was never yours, solely yours. That's the tragedy of the fall of man. Fall of man makes man think so individualistic, so self-centered, that he actually wants to claim the right to his own life. And it was never his own life from the beginning. You say, well, it's my life. It never was. It's always been His life in you. So when a man or a woman or a teenager or a person commits suicide, they're taking in their own hands to take something that was never theirs. It was always His life in you. Yeah. You need to encourage people in that. You get around folks that say they're suicide or are thinking suicide. You're in this room tonight and you're getting them kind of tendencies or what's it matter or nobody loves me. You see, it has a self-sorrow. It has a trap to it. There's a selfishness behind it. That's really, really, really unholy and it's a lie. And in the moment of feelings and emotions, it might seem right, but look what it produces. It's not an escape at all. It's a tragedy because you've been most deceived. It's just good to talk plain about it. Okay, do we need to go get the kids? Yeah? Hey, I almost dropped that through that hole. That was the Holy Ghost. I was like, it was like I heard this voice. He was my friend. He's my friend. He says, don't drop that. It'll go to the floor. I was like, I thought it was in a shelf. I just about let it go. I heard this still small voice say, don't drop that. I've heard that voice before. They're going to grab the kids. We're going to pray. Okay? And yeah, just bring the kids in. That won't disturb a thing. We won't be super long. But let's go get the kids so the children's care workers and stuff could be relieved and you can get your kids. And if you have to leave at any time, feel free. But if you can stay, please stay. We won't be super long. We're going to do some teaching here, training. We're going to pray. Some cool things will happen. God's just good, okay? So you guys all going to get kids? You all fruitful vines going to get children? Woo! Be fruitful and multiply. There's a lot of people going to get kids. All the fruitful vines went running. I thought they were leaving because they were tired of my preaching to them. I was like, man, I was getting insecure. People get up and leave, go to the bathroom when I preach. I say, I know they ain't leaving right now because my preaching, it's way too good. And then people think twice about going to the bathroom. They think I'm going to call them out. So they sit there shaking their seat. It's hilarious. We're just going to let the kids come on back in and get the parents back in because I want to share something that'll help us all. We'll just do something. It'll be sweet, simple, and it'll be empowering. It'll be equipping. Who likes equipping stuff? Who wants to, honestly, who really thinks about like knowing Him more than you've known Him before? Yeah. Experiencing Him, expressing Him. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, for so long in the church, we've become ministry crazed where everybody just wants a word. Everybody wants ministry. Everybody wants prayer. How about giving a word? How about praying for this? How about noticing somebody outside of your own needs? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
Very awesome.
Especially it says it's more blessed to give than receive.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not overly concerned, but I've noticed trends since I've been born again and saved where we've become a very ministry-minded, ministry-crazed people if we're not careful. We'll all sit under the prophet hoping he gives us a word instead of learn how to walk in the grace to give a word. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's not wrong to get a word, but some people, you know, got to weigh their heart in that thing. Just always needing a word. I had a lady once in Oklahoma. She come running up to me and she said, "You are so manifesting the love of God when you preach. I have never felt His love, and I have had so-and-so lay hands on me to feel His love, and I have never experienced God's love. You need to lay your hands on me." I said, "Nope, I'm not going to do you that injustice." She said, "Excuse me?" I said, "You're looking for a tangible feeling, honey." I said, "You got to know it in your heart. What happens if that fuzzy's not there one day? What happens if I'm not there to lay hands on you?" I said, "Honey, He loves you because He sent His Son."
Yeah, come on. Good.
And you don't need to feel His love today. You need to believe His love today.
Yeah, come on.
Because the reason you want to feel it so bad is because you don't believe it.
Right. Wow.
And she got offended at me. And I had to really talk to her and say, "Honey, you're missing the point." And do you see what she was doing to herself? She was taking relationship and turning it into receiving ministry. Ministry can never take the place of knowing Him. Don't let anything take the place of knowing Him. Everybody in this room that believes they're born again and believes in Jesus ought to acknowledge often God's love for them. "God, I'm so thankful for how You love me. God, I so appreciate Your love for me. I so appreciate how You forgave me through the blood and have washed me clean. God, I so thank You for Your love." You see what I'm saying? It's very important. Okay, we're just going to get rolling. I think we're pretty much doing all right. Hey, kids, welcome back in.
Yay!
They're so quiet. My goodness. Oh, it's because they got little lollipop things to lick. It's a very wise church. They give all the kids lollipops and send them back into the sanctuary. They're all licking them. They're all... There won't be a sound of a child except for... That's amazing, Pastor. We're going to have to pass that on. I'm going to have to pass that wisdom on in some leadership meeting or something. That's amazing. Okay. Before we leave tonight, we're going to pray for the sick. Is that all right? Okay. Let's just do some. I do this pretty much where we go because I feel like it's right. I didn't talk about healing really tonight, but the gospel's redeeming. The gospel's healing. Whenever you say the word redeemed, you mean brought back to original value. So anything Adam was before sin, we can pursue to become. Amen? The word saved. You know, a lot of us in this country think the word saved. Hey, you saved, brother? Yeah, I'm saved. You saved. We think, did you pray that prayer that qualifies you for heaven? That's what we're asking. But the word saved actually means healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, and kept safe and sound. It's an all-inclusive word that means the redemption of a thing. And it's more about this life than the one that's to come. It's actually about now. It's really important. Wow, we got a lot of kids coming back in. Good. I think we pretty much got the army back, don't we? Good. That's good. Welcome, kids. We won't be long, okay? We're going to pray. And if some of you kids want to help us, you can help us, especially if you're listening and understanding. It'll be awesome. I had recently had an eight-year-old really listening, and they participated, and the person they prayed for was healed instantly. It was beautiful. And I had a girl, 10, and she just hung on every word. And then she came up and said, he's so sweet. She came up and said, "You are really amazing." And I said, "Well, thanks." And she said, "No, but I mean it. I listened to every word you said and I could understand." And I said, "Awesome." And then she ended up praying for a lady and the lady's body changed. So here's a 10-year-old praying for a lady and her body changed. Do you think that'll encourage a 10-year-old?
Yes.
I think so. Okay. We'll do this as quick as we can. We'll try to get out of here in a good time since we have all the kids in the room. When you pray for the sick, there's a way I break this down just so we understand. You always want to pray by faith, and it's a simple prayer of faith. And what faith means, guys, is not that you pray the right prayer. It's that you believe the right thing. So I say this everywhere I go, and it brings freedom in the room. You have to understand something and take the pressure off. Your prayer never will heal anybody. It's not your prayer. So don't be self-conscious. Don't try to pray hard, powerful, spiritual. Be sincere and believe God loves the person. And believe that through Jesus, He paid the price for them to be restored. It's that simple. So I know from pastoring and my own personal life, who's ever prayed and you felt like you were striving to get something? Whoever prayed and you felt like you were got real self-conscious and you were trying to make it happen and pray that right prayer to get the power to flow? Who relates to what I'm saying? Who's ever prayed for the sick and you got conscious, more conscious about what you were going to say and praying right than God's will and love to heal the person? You see what I'm saying? So we want to get all that out of the room. That's not what we want tonight. It's believing right. So faith, in a simple way, is when you pray for, say you're praying for a person and you there's a condition that if it was changed, they wouldn't know it. Like, say they, I use migraines a lot because it's easy to relate. You know what I'm saying? If you say they just had a test. Say it's a woman and she said, I just had my annual test. I had my mammogram. I had a, is it a pap smear? It's a pap smear is a lady's test, right? That's the womanly stuff. Yeah. Hey, I've been around. That just came to me. Pap smear. I haven't even said that in a service ever. So you just got your pap smear. Sounds smeary. I don't know. Smear. I'm sure it gets its name justly. And they say, why? I'm all messed up right now. So they say to you, when I just had my annual whatever, and they found a growth. They found a lump on an ovary. Well, can you feel it? Can you tell it's there? Nope, never had a symptom. They just said it's there. Or they found a plum-sized thing growing in my uterus. So if you pray for them until they get tested, they really wouldn't know. They couldn't say, woohoo, I'm healed, except for just simple faith in their heart, right? Who knows? There's a lot of situations you bump into. You hear somebody talking, they'll say, man, I'm so glad I don't have a migraine today. Well, why'd you say that? Well, because I've been getting one once a week for the last 6 weeks, and it's been about 4 or 5 days. I'm figuring it's going to be any day now. You see what I'm saying? So they don't have one in the moment. There's nothing to gauge. You just pray. It looks something simple like this, simple prayer of faith. Well, listen, man, let's just pray about that. What? Yeah, I just want to pray with you. Well, I don't have one. I know, let's pray it never comes. Let's just pray it never comes. Or you say, well, let's just pray for that thing in the uterus, that growth. And what that would look like if I was praying without, I don't want you to get mechanical on me, just hear the heart of what I'm saying. It's something simple like this. It says, if you have faith, you'll say to the mountain what? Move, and the mountain will move. So when I pray for people, I always acknowledge God's love for them because to me it's just right. It's what's missing in a lot of our lives. Yes. Believing God's love is missing. In fact, some people, the fact that they have the tumor in the uterus would question God's love and wonder where He is and what I do wrong and what I do to deserve this. Yes. And it would throw their identity into limbo. Yes. Instead of saying, wait a minute, man, this is so not the will of God and this isn't what He designed me for and somehow this thing and I'm just standing, yay, God. Yes. See? So if you don't have right understanding, you could go anywhere with this thing. So very simply, I would say something like this. You know, can I just hold your hand? Let's just pray about that. And I know you're going to be tested. They're going to follow. Oh, yeah, they're going in. They ran me. They set me up for all these tests. And they want to biopsy that thing. Let's believe something really awesome. Because He loves you, because He paid the price for redemption. And what that means is a restoration back to what God made people to be from the beginning. And you might give them a little understanding. I don't always go that. It depends on the situation, the person. And I just something simple like this. Father, I just thank You for Your amazing love for Jenny. And God, I just thank You for wholeness in Jesus' name. You growth, You leave her body right now in the authority of Jesus' name. You come out of her and never be found in her body again. Yeah. God, I thank You for Your unstoppable love. In Jesus' name. Simple. Who knows, you can do that in a few seconds. You know, migraines, you never come back. You never hit Johnny again. Not one trace, not one symptom. No more nausea, no more pain, no more. Not another day in bed. In Jesus' name, you never come again. Who knows, you can do that? Who knows, you can believe that? Man, We have prayed. I personally, just in my comings and goings, and have come to know the truth about it afterward. Just things like migraines. So many people say, I never had one since. You're expecting they won't. You're not like, hey, let's see if this works. Where faith comes from, you actually believe it's God's will and good pleasure to give him the kingdom, that he didn't orchestrate the thing and he'll stop the thing. You get it? Because he loves them through Jesus. So I want you to be that simple. So tonight we're going to do two things. We're going to pray for anybody in the room that if you were healed, there'd be no way to know. You'd have to have a test, or time would tell, or you would need to go have a hard day at work, or do whatever you do to find it out. And sometimes it would take a day, two, or it would take your next doctor appointment. Do you guys follow me?
Yes.
So the only people we want to pray for right now, the very first group we're going to pray for, is just to simply teach a simple prayer of faith. And I'll talk to the people we're praying for and then all of us here in a second. I want you to stand up and please participate. Please don't think, oh, this is the end of the service, kind of like this is some religious thing. It's not. This is so real and so powerful. God is doing so many things in this little end of the service moment for a long time, actually. You really don't want to miss this. I mean, even if you're a little cynical, stand up, okay? I mean it. Even if you're a lot of cynical, if you have a condition in your life that if we prayed for you, you wouldn't be able to tell right now, because it comes and goes and it's not there now, or it would need a test result, or it's something internal or whatever, I need you and only you to stand to your feet real quick. Come on, everybody that involves. You have a condition that if you were healed, there'd be nothing to pinpoint, nothing to test or check. You would just have to believe it with us. You guys with me on what I'm asking? Okay. Simple prayer of faith. Okay, the people that had the humility and the honesty to stand, I want you to look at me and I want to tell you this. Here's all I want you to do tonight when we pray. Just believe he loves you. Just believe God loves you, that he paid a price for your redemption, and that your wholeness is his will. You say, well, you know, you don't want to get into doctrinal debate with people. I say very little on the streets when I talk and pray with people. A lot of times they have just enough church experience to argue with you. So I say very little. I try to sneak attack people sometimes without violating their trust factor or whatever. But you don't want to get in too much conversation, because if you mention about God's will to heal, you could be in real trouble with a lot of Christians. But honestly, if you don't, honestly, in this room, I'm just talking in this room. If you don't believe it's the will of God to heal, how could you ever have faith in the will of in God healing? You would just be a hope-so thing. It would be like, well, I hope this works. But if you look at Jesus' life among men, you can find the will of God. Because he's the will of the Father revealed. So I'm not trying to get too intense and doctrinal with you. I'm just saying, Jesus said, I only do the will of him who sent me. And when you see me, you see the Father. So I find the Father through Jesus. And Jesus' life is the will of God revealed.
Yeah.
It's that simple. So who did he turn away and who didn't he heal? So let's just go for this thing and start believing it until our experience is the equivalent of his life. And until it is, let's stop changing our mind and going with the moment and changing what we believe based on our... Yeah? Let's just lock in and grow there. You get what I'm saying? So tonight, all I want you guys to do is just believe he loves you and just thank God for wholeness. I'm telling you, things are changing all through this room. It's too late. You stood up. It's going to happen. I'm just telling you. And I am. I'm just telling you. I believe this. We have faith for this. So if there's anybody around them that just wants to reach up, grab a hand, say, here, I'm just going to stand with you. I'm believing with you. Thank God he's healing you. Just grab a hand. Just make contact real quick. We're going to do this quick. All I want you to do when you grab their hand or touch them is just be healed in Jesus' name. Complete wholeness. I'm not asking you what's wrong. We don't need to know that on this round. We're just believing this thing will never come back. Never show face again, okay? In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for wholeness all through the room.
Yes, Lord.
Now I'm going to pray with you guys right now on this one. I'm not going to pray the next time. We're all going to do it individually with the Holy Ghost. But right now, let's just do this. Be healed in Jesus' name. No more sickness. No more disease. No more pain. Every symptom, leave and never return. Father, we thank you for wholeness. from this day forth. And we thank you this situation will never recur again. In Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, good, good, good. So you'll need time to tell. Some of you will just need a little time. Some of you will need more time. If you know by the weekend, before we're done, tell somebody. Tell me, tell Trey, tell somebody so we can talk about it because it's good stuff. Okay, so here's the second half and then we're going to be done. I'm not dragging this out too long. We'll be all right. If you need prayer in your body, healing in your body, and you need prayer tonight for healing in your body, and you would know if you were healed because of the obvious symptoms, pain, something paralyzed, doesn't move, something's degenerate, you can't do it without rubbing and pain. Just you know what I'm saying. If you have a condition in your body that if you were healed, you would absolutely be able to tell without exaggeration. If you'd inventory it, you'd be able to know if it's there or not, functioning in the way it was or not. They're the people I need to stand right now. I need all of you to stand. If you have any sickness in your body or any debilitation stuff, any cartilage, I feel like there's some of you that need to stand and don't just think it comes with time or something. There's some people you need to say, well, I worked hard my whole life. That's why I'm bone on bone. You watch and see. Jesus can fix the cartilage between your bones tonight. Okay? Don't write off healing because of natural situations. Okay? You know, don't say, well, I ran for 25 years in my life. I blew out my knees. Well, let's just believe Jesus will put your knees back in there tonight. Okay? I was in Denver and this lady was like this because she was afraid of surgery. And she literally was walking like this. They prayed for her three times. You say, why three? I don't know. I won't even try to preach on it. I just know we pray and don't change our mind. We pray. We're not asking God to heal. Knees be restored. Cartilage you be restored. Knees you be whole. Third time, she said, whoa, I feel something. And I don't know if they prayed again or not, but I know it was at least three times. And her 30-year-old son just sat there and cried and cried and cried as he watched his mom just walk back and forth. He said for like 15 years, she's been shuffling because she's afraid of surgery and doesn't want anesthesia and doesn't want her knees operated on. So for 15 years, she's walking like this and her son's just watching her go back and forth.
Wow.
I come off a plane with a lady that sat beside me. I told that testimony to her and she's sitting there with the same knees. Out of all the testimonies I could have shared, I told her the testimony of the lady in Denver. And she's there and I said, oh my goodness, you're that lady. And she went, I am. And we prayed and watched her come down, you know, the puddle jumper planes where they take the door and turn it into six stairs that are like that. She said they'd have had airline attendants above her, below her, and around her to get her off of them steps before. And I watched her just come right down, crying her little eyes out. And then we had gate check bags, so everybody, I have a congregation there and didn't even... We just had church. She's coming down. She's bawling, thank you, Jesus. And they're all standing there waiting for their bags. They're our congregation. So she's in there looking like, what's going on? And I'm telling them what Jesus did. And they're like, whoa, because they can tell it's real. Right. You know what happened? I couldn't make it into the airport. I went this far. Excuse me. Pray. Excuse me, pray. And that was the day we set our record. I had four people, me and Holy Ghost have a personal record, four people weeping, asking for prayer before I could get into the terminal without me pursuing anybody. Now, I've had three a couple times, but that day we had four. It's just fun, man. That sure beats it. My on-time connection, middle seat, sitting too close to the pooper. Went... Come on. Okay. Did we get everybody? Is everybody standing that should be standing? Is there anybody still sitting with that joint stuff I was talking about? Just some pains and cartilage stuff, maybe arthritic stuff, and you know you're not yourself and you're still sitting for some reason. I want you to make sure you're up. Okay? Don't make me go fishing. I'm a pretty good fisherman. Don't make me. I was just in a service. I said, this lady, I said, you're a lady. You were just in the kitchen this week and you went to turn a jar and you said, I wonder what's wrong with me. I'm just losing my strength. And for some reason you didn't stand. She just started to weep and stood right up. Isn't that awesome? So don't make me have to do that. Don't tempt the Lord. Just stand up in simple faith. Okay. Y'all up? Everybody up? Okay. Now here's what I need you to do. Don't anybody pray yet. This is going to be fun. You guys that are sitting, some of you don't really know me, some of you do. Some of you don't know what we're about to do, but I'm excited. The people sitting are my prayer team. Yeah. And be excited about that. If you're nervous, I want you on my team. Seriously, because you're not going to be overconfident. So if you're like, I can't do this, yeah, you're right, but him in you can. Yeah. So don't be afraid to get involved. I'm not controlling you. I'm not mandating you got to get involved. We're not going to mark who sits and who stands. I'm inviting you in to be empowered to do this, because here's the deal. You can't fail. You step out and believe. Faith isn't a point in time, and I'm not saying this as a backup or cover-up. I'm being honest about this. When you pray for the sick, we're so afraid that nothing's going to happen that we don't step out and pray for the sick. And because we don't step out and pray, guess what we have? What we're afraid of. What a bummer. So you're going to be so afraid that nothing's going to happen that you don't even pray and get nothing? Look, if love never fails, that's not fail to love. And let's get our hands on somebody, because these signs follow those that they will. Forget the healing just for a split second. The first sign of a believer is they'll. You got to start there. Okay? You don't turn faith into a point in time. You don't pray for something that's not moving. I was in Indiana and a lady's hands were like this for a long time and they came alive. That could be testy if you're praying for her, just watching her hands and you don't see them changing. And you're turning faith into a point in time. And it gets in your head. Now you're trying to pray harder, pray better, name of Jesus or whatever. It just can get strange. You got to speak life. We're going to cover some things in this room. We're going to learn a lot. The people sitting that are standing, lift your hand, just one hand, just lift a hand up if you're standing and you need prayer. Lift your hand high. The people sitting, please, the people sitting, please, just jump up one-on-one till everybody's covered. Help me. Let's be the church. You don't have to, but I am wishing and imploring you strongly to. Jump up and grab somebody. Just have fun with it, even if you're nervous, to say, hey, I'm going to claim you tonight. I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but you're mine. Just have fun with it. Be loose tonight. Don't be under pressure. Okay, grab somebody, claim somebody. If they claim you, put your hand down. Put your hand down if you have a prayer partner. Put your hand down if you're claimed, so we know who we need to get yet. We got two people right here. Thanks, ma'am. I appreciate that. Good. I got a gentleman right here with his hand raised high. Can somebody, you coming, sir? Yeah. Why don't you step out so he can get to you? Yeah, come on out in the aisle. He'll get to you. Who else do we need? Anybody right here? Got, okay. Okay, she's got you. I didn't see her there. I saw your hand. I didn't think anybody had you, but I see. That was. Okay. Is that a family member? Is that. Yeah, I want somebody to. That's you. Yeah, that was your honey. I thought that was your wife. Yeah, he's going to stand with you.
Is that everybody? Because.
Do we have everybody?
Because I need a prayer and it's gone. The pain's gone.
It already left?
Yes.
Wow. You stood up for something and it's already gone.
Yes.
What was it? Come here a minute. Just come here. No, it's okay. You can cry and be real. Do you think she's making this up? Stand up here so they can see you. Get up here. This is your day. This is your moment. Get up high here. Come up hither. So what happened? Did you stand up sincerely just to be prayed for? And what was going on?
My neck. I had pain in my neck.
Noticeable bad pain.
Yeah.
Scale 1 to 10.
You prayed for me still. Yeah, still. And it, when I first, yeah, it's been there. And
is it completely gone?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like,
I want to pray for somebody.
She's like, who can I pray for? Did you have somebody? You still need somebody? Come on, go over there. There's a young lady over there waiting, or somebody's over there. Okay, guys, don't pray yet. We're going to do some simple instruction, okay? This is going to be fun. See, Holy Ghost is already excited. He's like, calm down. You can't tell him to calm down. He loves people so much. But there is something he wants to teach us. He wants you to get involved with one another and step out and start believing. He wants the people that need prayer to not be afraid to ask and believe. Not to be afraid, well, I ain't standing up. I stood up the last time somebody came and nothing changed and I felt kind of stupid and I ain't standing up again. That's called analytical, and it'll pull you out of the kingdom of God. Okay? So it's about believing and receiving. So here's the deal. Take 3 seconds, just 3 seconds, and ask them what they stood for and what the problem is in their body. Just ask them specifically. 3 seconds. Give them the 3-second version. And then look back up here. I'm just teaching, guys. Just trying to empower. Okay? Y'all got it? You know why you're praying? You pretty much got it, everybody? Yeah? We're just waiting for to hear the... Because sometimes it takes more than 3 seconds, I think, to explain, but... Y'all know? Okay. Now, here's what I want to do. We're all going to do this together. Don't pray yet. We're going to do this together. Now, here's the deal. This is for your sake. I'm only going to give you about 6 seconds to pray. No, you can't get in trouble in 6 seconds. You can't run out of words. You can't get self-conscious. Be healed in Jesus' name. Pain, you leave. Like, say the sister that was up here, if you were praying for her, pain, come out of that neck, you be mobile, you be loose in Jesus' name. Who knows, you can pray that in 6 seconds. I just did that in about 3 seconds. I'm going to give you about 6 seconds to pray. Watch. You will never be able to get self-conscious in 6 seconds. It's not enough time. So at the end of 6 seconds, isn't that awesome? That's why I told you to get involved. You can't go wrong. So what I want you to do is, all I want you to do is be sincere and believe God loves the person you're praying for and He paid a price to heal him through His Son Jesus, right? And that He will literally flow through you and touch them as you believe. Can you believe that tonight? 6 seconds. And at 6 seconds, I'm going to say, okay, wind it down. When I say that, all I mean is this. I usually encourage people to close with receiving the love of God, the people that are being prayed for. All I want you to do in that 6 seconds, wow, you really love me, Father. Thanks. Thanks for loving me. I've learned a lot of Christians, whew, it's going to make me cry, live their whole Christian life and never verbally talk about God loving them to God. Live their whole Christian life and never say, wow, God, I thank you the way you love me. You love me so much. I so appreciate your love for me. I've learned that Christians were Christians their whole life and never communed and talked that way to the Lord. Yeah. It's life changing. So all I want you to do as you're receiving tonight is just thank God He loves you, because in Him loving you is where the gospel works and flows. Faith worketh through love. When I say wind it down, okay, arthritis, you leave the body. Every bit of pain, you go in the authority of Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for your great love for them. In Jesus' name, be whole. Okay? So when I say wind it down, all I want you to do is acknowledge God's love for them in the name of Jesus. Be whole. And then, without exaggeration, we're going to inventory, just like she did with tears and said, it's already gone. We're going to, some will be more obvious than others. Some of you, I don't want you to be snap on it and say, oh, it's healed. And then find it's still there and you just said that. I don't want that. I don't want exaggeration. I want you to check your bodies. And whatever that means, to check your body and know that it's changed. Some people just know right away because it's intense. But I want you to make sure you know. And then as soon as you know, I want you to let us know. And we're going to walk through this. And we're going to teach a little through it. And we're going to watch what God does in this room. It'll be fun. You all ready?
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. A lot of cool things, because He's just amazing. You all set? Okay, before you actually do it, look at that person you're going to pray for. Make them feel a little uncomfortable for a second. And just know that God loves them greatly. Greatly. Amen? Okay, you ready? Do y'all know why you're praying? Okay, I'm not going to pray over top of you. I'm actually going to stay quiet. I know you don't believe that, but for 6 seconds, I can do it. I want you to pray 6 seconds of faith and love. You ready? Go ahead. Pray for your person right now. In Jesus' name. God, you're good. Thank you. Change your God. Wow, that's awesome. Okay, wind it down. Start to wind it down. Because He loves them. If you're being prayed for, just believe He loves you right now. Just thank Him right now that He loves you. Go ahead, wind it down in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, yay. Start checking your bodies, guys, whatever that means. And if you already know you're healed, just let me know if you already know. Some people just know right away. Check your bodies. As soon as you know you're healed, go like this. I want your hand going like this so I can tell who's who. You, definitely back there, ma'am. It changed? For sure? Okay, we'll get to it. Who else? You know? Wow. Stay with me, guys. Check your bodies. Right now, I need to know the people we prayed for. If you know it changed, I need to know who you are real quick. Yeah? Changed? Go like this so I can see you. Changed? Was that one in the back changed? Is she saying changed or what back there? No, just being prayed for? You, sir? Yeah? Good. Anybody over here we prayed for? Anything changing? Yeah? Okay. Who wants to tell me? So you did, sir? Yeah? What? Shout it out. What's going on? What was it like before? Just a lot of pain? Were you limited? You couldn't go any higher than that? Was that the highest you could go? Yeah? Okay. Yeah? Does it still feel like it's catching a little? Okay. Just pray that, young man. Are you the one that prayed? Just pray that all be loosed and never, never hitch again, okay? And watch, that'll just get loose. Who else wants to tell me something? Something changed. There was a handful of you going like this. Talk to me. Yeah? Go ahead, dear. For 3 years? What was it like for 3 years? 24/7 problem? Oh, today it was there. It was, yeah. It's going? How you feel? Mobile? No pain. Wow. Stretch your hands to her, guys. Father, we just thank you. She'll sleep well tonight. Yeah, there's something good about you sleeping tonight. Not distracted, not finding a comfortable position, and not being unrestful. And I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I just even your mind, just at rest and at peace. And I just thank you that, God, nighttime is not a dread. And I just thank you that there's peace in you. And because there's peace in you, there's peace in her. And I thank you, God, she'll wake in the morning and weep because of your goodness on her life. And God, I thank you, her body's whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it's good. Who else? You want to testify real quick, and then we're going to just teach something out real quick here. Who else? You know you were... Who knows they were changed? Go like this again. Let me see who you were. There was a handful of you. Yeah, we got you. Yeah, sir. Shout it out real quick. Was there always pain? So you couldn't have done that without a problem. Yeah, yeah. It's not there at all. Awesome. Ma'am. Right here. Real quick. Real quick. Don't lose me yet. Here, we want to do something.
I had surgery on my leg, and for the last 2 days, it's been burning really bad on the top part of the surgery site.
Okay.
I step on my foot very good.
Okay.
Mornings, but it's not hurting at all.
So you don't have it, and there would have been a way to find it. Like it would have just.
It was hurting
all on its own. Okay. Excellent. Who here, you didn't raise your hand when I asked you about being changed because it's not all the way, but it's somewhat better. It's just not all the way. Let me see you. Be honest. Who are you? Okay. Is your person still here? Watch this. This will be fun. See, because sometimes we get heady about this stuff. We say, oh man, I wonder why. I guess I'm only walking in half an anointing or whatever we do sometimes. We just do stuff like that. Raise your hand if it got somewhat better, but you didn't raise your hand because it's not all the way. So you didn't raise your hand. Grab them. If their person's still here, please, bear with me. I know this takes a while, but this is good instructional stuff. Give them 6 more seconds and let's watch what happens in this room. Just pray right now. Find your person. Find your person. Who was praying for you? Yeah, that's okay. Pray for him. Come on, 6 seconds. Do it. Jesus' name, complete wholeness. Thank God for what he's done. Thank God for what he's finishing. Yeah? Don't get distracted and just let's do this quick. I want to teach something. Amen. That should be good. Now, I'm only talking to the people where you felt some change, but not all the way. Check your bodies again this time. Just check them one more time. Tell me if that thing changed. Did it change?
Yes.
Right away?
Yes.
Good. Back air? Changed? Good. Anybody else completely changed that time? On the other side? Yeah. Good. Changed?
Yes.
You look like it changed. You're all excited. Look at you, man. What was going on? Okay. It got a little better. Now it's gone. It's awesome. Changed? Come on, man. That's good. Just thank God for that. That's good. Anybody else? Totally changed. That's like, yeah?
It's back. Spasms. Pain. It's all gone. I have a neck issue. No crackling.
You don't even feel that. Man, that's good. And the first time you felt some relief? Now it's gone. You can't even find anything that was there. Ugh, that's good. That's a lot of folks that time. Yeah? It went away that time? What was wrong? Did you... Oh my goodness. Do you have any symptoms right now at all? No, but fibromyalgia is... You really do, don't you? Talk to me. What was this like, the fibromyalgia? Was it an everyday really messing you up? 25 years. I was on a plane with a lady. She called it chronic fibromyalgia for 22 years on a serious pill, and Jesus took every symptom. You don't have any symptoms, any burnings, pains, symptoms. Young lady, would you do me a favor? Yeah, you. Turn around, put your hand right on her forehead, and believe this. This thing will never, ever, ever come back. Honey, you believe that while you're praying with me, okay? This thing will never, ever, ever come back. Not one more day ever of burning, pain, or discomfort. Father, we thank you for wholeness in her life. I thank you for rejuvenating strength. I thank you those middle of the day, just tired, almost washed out moments are gone. And I just see you being vigorous and having vitality is actually a word I hear, which isn't one I use much. But I just hear it because that makes sense to you, because I see this washed out time during the day where it just felt like you were a wash rag and you just felt like you couldn't go. But that's going to be no more. You're going to have strength and energy and the ability to do what your heart's desired. You're going to get some things accomplished. There's some things even on the back burner that I believe you're just going to have the ability and the desire to do. And it's just going to be a joy time. I see it as a worship time. We're going to be thankful because you knew not long ago you couldn't have done those things. So I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen? It's good. Okay, this is the final question. And this is the one we don't talk about much because it bothers folks. But we need to talk about it. Who in the room did we pray for? And as of right now, it seems the same. It hasn't changed. It's the way it was from the get when we first prayed. Who? One, two. Keep your hand up so I can see you. Three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, yeah, keep your hand up so I can see you. Are your people still here?
Yes.
Okay, now listen. Listen, guys. When this stuff happens, analytical, remember I talked about it tonight? The tendency is people to say, wow, that was awesome. Look what happened. Look with her. All these things. And then these other people, what's wrong with me? What am I doing? Something must be blocking my healing. There's a lot of ways you could take this. There's people that prayed for you that could go, boy, I wonder if I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I ought to get hurt because when she prayed, the lady was healed. You guys are laughing because you know it's how we think. I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to listen. You never disconnect. You never jump ship with faith. You never. Faith isn't a point in time. It's a position that you live from. So what you do is you say, God, I thank you for what you're doing in me. God, I so appreciate you. Touch me, right? You say, oh, that's just a cop-out. Well, the cynical would say that, but people with faith understand. Raise your hands if nothing changed up until now. I need them high, real high. Somebody go stand with them, and if your person's still here, make sure you let your person get you. But if they left, somebody grab them. If you don't know what it is, ask them what it is. Ask them what they need. Give them 6 more seconds. Let's see what happens in the room. Bear with me, guys. 6 more seconds. And then we're going to see what changes. Come on. Pray for that man back there. There's a man with a walker back there. Pray for him. 6 seconds. Go for it. Jesus' name, be healed. Speak it over him. Bodies change. God, thank you. Come on, this is the body in action. Don't take this lightly. Don't get weary with this stuff. Okay, that should be good. Just thank God he loves them. Thank God he loves you if you're being prayed for. Father, thanks for what you're doing. Okay. I don't want no striving, no stressing. Just check your bodies and be honest. What's changing in the room? Wave your hand and tell me if anything's changed in those handful of folks. It's about 10 people we're praying for. Anything change in anybody? Talk to me if anything changed in anybody. Check your bodies right now thoroughly. Did anything change? Something that hadn't changed before? Yeah? Can you talk about it or is it personal? Tell me about it. And so up until now, it hadn't changed at all. Do I have you right, though? Up until now, it hadn't changed.
In the last 20 years, I have never been able to do this.
Wow.
In 20 years, you couldn't do that. So when they prayed first time, did you try to do that back there?
And the lady prayed for me, and it was getting warm. It was getting warm, and I told her, I couldn't bend this knee.
Was it like almost frozen tight? Like it was locked there?
It's a basketball injury.
Okay.
And I said, Lord, if this is real, you need to show me something. No, really, I'm saying, Lord, this is real. You need to show me something.
That's humility. I get that.
I've never been able to do this.
20 years, guys.
And you know what? I'm a believer now. I said, hey, it's real.
That's awesome. Anybody else? Thanks, man. I said, can you talk about it? He said, oh, I'll go talk about it. That's awesome. Anybody else? Your body changed that last time we prayed. There was about 10 of you. Just check. Anything change at all? Anything get better or completely change? Better?
Better.
Noticeably? What are we believing for, honey? What are we praying for? Okay. Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Were they stiff? Did they have any numbness or burning? What? Is there any numbness? Nothing. Do you have any symptoms at all? No? Okay. But the first couple times we prayed, it stayed the same for a little? Listen, this is God. Listen, you got to learn from this stuff. If you lose heart, you pray and lose heart and let the circumstance decide your faith system or your belief, you're going to be way deceived. Because this thing is in the room, right? And all of a sudden, we're just standing our ground, praying again. How many times were you prayed for tonight?
Twice.
Second time it changed. Okay, do you see, understand what I'm saying? And if you don't understand these simple things, the second time you're striving, you're trying to get something, and by the third time you're not even fit to pray. Be real with me.
Come on.
I'm just being real. So you got to keep it simple, same prayer, same faith in Jesus, bam. That's not an accident. That testimony, that brother with the best money, that's not an accident. Come on. That's just simple faith and not change your mind. Anybody else? Anything else change? Okay, I need something change a little bit or? 16 years, chronic back pain.
But now I've been forward all the way.
Can you bend down pretty good? You checked it already? You haven't done that for 16 years? The first time they prayed wasn't, you couldn't bend? But that time it changed. Okay, that's just excellent. The people remaining that held their hands up that I didn't hear from you yet, Your body still seems the same. We're going to close right now. I need to know who you are. Raise your hands. Keep them up. Somebody grab somebody. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray with you. Here's what I want you to do tonight. Look at me. If you're lifting your hands, I'm going to try to catch your eyes. You leave here tonight thankful. Appreciate God and His love. Thank Him for what He's doing in your body. Enjoy all the healings and thank you, God, you're a healer. And I appreciate you healing me. Thanks for your love for me. You get it? So right now, Father, I thank you for wholeness all through this room. Everybody with their hand raised. I thank you, Father, that you're bringing wholeness to everyone. And I thank you, God, whether it be as they're leaving through the night or in their waking moment, God, I thank you these bodies are changed. In the authority of Jesus' name, be healed and made whole. Father, we thank you for it. Amen? And amen. Yeah. Okay, I kept you here a while. Actually, I'm usually preaching in most churches for another 40 minutes. So I was very gentle with you guys. Like for another 40 minutes, we didn't even pray yet for the sick. So I've been very gracious. But we're coming back tomorrow. If you want to come back, I'll be here. What time? 10? 10 a.m. to 12 and then 6 at night. Okay? Look, love you. Make a friend. Hey, let's do this quick. If you know your body changed at some level and was healed tonight, or your body changed and you're significantly changed and you're still here, let me see your hands. Do like this. Look around, guys. Look around. That's cool. That was you guys participating. That was you guys believing. Amen? So let's keep believing. Amen? You want to close out? You got something?
He said 10 a.m. tomorrow. We can have some ice cream and coffee if you just want to hang out. We're a church that likes to fellowship and hang out. And so you're more than welcome to hang out with us. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. Amen?
Yeah. Was she in the...